There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yeah, into the second hour of the show. Plenty of live sport to keep us interested throughout proceedings. In fact, let's give you an update on that live sport at the moment. Let's get the latest from CVI. He's watching the football for us. West Ham taking on Manchester United.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is it's been a West Ham all the way. That, of course, early goal by Anderson, Felipe Anderson, a fantastic crossball by Zabaleta. He put it in the back of the net. 37 minutes played at the London Stadium. West Ham 1, Man United 0. We've just had one kickoff in the Currie Cup down in South Africa. It's the unbeaten Sharks taking on the unbeaten Western Province. That game is live at Newlands. And what I can tell all you Sharks supporters, you have got something to smile about. The Sharks have just scored their first five-pointer. That has been converted by Robert Dupree. What I can tell you is Natal Sharks 7, Western Province 0.
There's also Ryder Cup action ongoing at the moment. Let's get the latest from Ross Christ on this one for us.
Sad to report, Tom, the USA is down 8-4 against Europe. Thomas and Spaeth got that crucial point. Getting that one point over Poulter and Ram. Poulter found the bunker there right before he lost that final point there. So the Americans got back a crucial point, 8-4, before they go into the afternoon pairings. You have to think American has to get at least 3 points out of this afternoon.
Going to keep an eye on that one for you. It's been a great day of sport down under. It continues to be a great weekend of sport down under. We had the AFL Grand Final later on. Matt Byrne was in last week. I'm sure he's somewhere around town at the moment. He was talking to us about AFL Middle East and the growth therein. He was looking forward to the Grand Final a little earlier on today, which was played a little earlier on today. And it turned out to be a classic. In fact, an all-time classic. Collingwood and West Coast threw everything had at one another in the hopes of walking away with the Premiership Cup in hand. At the end of a grueling contest, it was West Coast who emerged victorious after a thrilling comeback was sealed in the dying minutes. The Eagles took only their second lead of the entire game when midfielder Dom Sheed calmly slotted an incredible goal from the boundary line to hand his team the lead, which they'd never relinquish. 100%. That is the goal of the year, according to the Melbourne Age newspaper. As with any grand final, it was littered with huge moments that swung the momentum of the epic contest. So they were treated to a grand final, grand by name, grand by nature, in more ways than one. And well done to the Eagles, West Coast Eagles, who are the crown champions after that dying minutes goal from Dom Sheed in the final a little earlier on today down in Melbourne. Plenty of action down in Australia over the weekend. NRL Grand Final tomorrow, is that right?
That's correct, Tom. Of course, the Roosters take on the Storm. So another big one. And talking about all things Australia, another big day for them this afternoon when they take on South Africa in rugby union. Of course, that game comes to us live 7 o'clock from South Africa. They're playing down in Port Elizabeth at the Mandela Bay Stadium. A big, big day for Michael Checker. And I kind of feel Michael Checker might be a little bit hot under the collar if Australia don't get the victory today. The good news for them is Michael Hooper, that inspirational flanker, is back for them, as I say, as they take on the Springboks. That game kicks off just after 7 o'clock.
Right, then a little later on, in the wee small hours of tomorrow morning, you got New Zealand against Argentina. This rugby championship is alive and well, thanks to the exploits of South Africa last weekend. Sorry, weekend before that, against New Zealand over in NZ as well. Something of a shock result there. We've got Carlos in front of us. It's the first time I've seen him since that particular game. Did New Zealand lose that game, or did South Africa win it?
I think New Zealand lost it, to be perfectly honest, Tom. I've never, ever in my life seen such a terrible kicking display from Baden Barrett. And I think, you know, if Barrett put over all those kicks, which were absolutely sitters, New Zealand would have had it. I think South Africa, very, very opportunistic. Two basically interception tries that they scored. But, Tom, we know that sometimes in life things just need to go your way. You need to have the bounce of the ball to pull off these astonishing victories, and it all went South Africa's way on that day. And I think it was such a badly needed team for South African rugby. Rassie Erasmus, the whole team under so much pressure, people questioning that team, people worried about South African rugby, and to pull off that victory in New Zealand was absolutely fantastic. I think it's just the momentum the Springboks needed. But I think that even puts more pressure on them today because, of course, the whole nation has driven or flown down to Port Elizabeth. They're all getting behind the Springboks. And it's, once again, another must-win game for the Bucks in Port Elizabeth this afternoon.
Going to keep an eye on that one for you and also the build-up to that. So the Australia game kicks off at what time this afternoon?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock this evening.
Crucial, isn't it? I mean, for both of these teams, that's because this is a championship that's wide open. Both of them, the big guns, Australia and New Zealand, off the back of defeats last time out. So they're going to need to silence their critics and, of course, get their campaigns back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Michael Checker losing to Argentina, as I said, that's put a lot of pressure on him. A lot of people have been questioning him bringing Kirtley Beale in a fly-up. I see once again he's gone with that combination this afternoon, Tom, so it will be quite interesting. The good thing for Australia is, as I said, Michael Hooper, he's back in the number 7 jersey. We know how important he is to that team. It's interesting to see Izzy Folau is on the wing. Hale Petty, we're in the number 15 jersey. So it will be interesting to see what Izzy Folau can bring to the party. Of course, last time these two teams met, Australia did beat South Africa.
Get in there. Sorry about that. That's a West Ham fan getting far too excited.
Tell us what happened, Tommy.
It's that man again, Yarmolenko. He's been in the goals for West Ham in the last couple of games. Two, in fact, against Everton. And it's that left foot yet again. Ball comes to him rather fortuitously. Bad defending from a corner for Manchester United. How often do we hear that? Jose Mourinho is not happy. Ball comes over. Little knock-on from Diop in the middle of the defence for West Ham. And then a fortuitous goal for Yarmolenko in the end. But he does make room for himself and then uses that cultured left foot that he has. Gets a shot off. Big ricochet off one of the Manchester United players. Yarmolenko will claim it. But it is the retreating Lindelof who has taken a big deflection. And the ball goes into the back of the net. You know what that means? It means that they're going into half-time in about 2 minutes' time. West Ham lead Manchester United by 2-0. And the pressure mounts.
Man, you in trouble. Look at that face of Jose Mourinho. And as I said, this is the last thing Mourinho needed in his life. And I tell you what, Tom, Manchester United under huge, huge pressure. And the way West Ham is playing now, it will have to be a massive second half from United to try and get back into this game. And as we said early on in the show, if Mourinho loses today, more pressure, more questions around Jose Mourinho and his days at Manchester United.
Going to keep an eye on this one for you throughout the remainder of that particular game. And then, of course, build up to our feature game at 6 o'clock, which I will find out which game it is. I should have done my homework before the show, shouldn't I really? Work that one out.
You've got a few to choose from.
I was thinking that. And I was having a look. I'll admit, put my hand up. I get an email before from Chris McCarty, which I haven't read. Does anyone read emails?
No.
Do you ever read emails from him? They don't make any sense anyway,
Where's the time?
So if the games that we got, the 6 games kicking off at 6 o'clock, if you could choose one of the games that you think would be the focus game, which one do you think it would be?
I'd go for Arsenal-Watford. It's got to be.
Yeah. Not the City game?
Manchester City-Brighton, no. Mm-hmm. I think Arsenal-Watford would be a much tighter, closer game.
I will have the answer for you in just a few moments' time. We'll take a short break and I'll read my email.
Unbelievable goal! This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Valencia lead Real Sociedad, second half of that game, into the 58th minute down there. A couple of yellow cards for the visitors. Lato and Churchill have both gone into the book, but it is Kevin Gamero who has scored for Valencia. They lead Real Sociedad by 1-0. What's happening in the Premier League? CVR, tell us more.
Yeah, what I can tell you, Tom, once again, not a great start for Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. A 5th-minute goal by West Ham and then a late goal in the first half sees West Ham 2-0 up half time at the London Stadium.
We've got Ryder Cup action for you. They're back out for the foursomes. Ross Chris, what's you seeing?
Good spark for the Americans. Watson and Simpson one up over Garcia and Noren. Johnson Kopta one up over Rose and Stenson. Keep in mind, Europe is in the lead right now, 8-4. So the United States, they probably need to get 3 points this afternoon to make something of it, don't they?
They do indeed. I've been watching we've all been watching the Ryder Cup over the last 24 hours since it got underway. One thing that struck me, there are a number of things that have struck me, a number of talking points coming out of it. Conditions, playing conditions, specifically this morning, cold. I mean, beautiful playing conditions, but there is a cold wind blowing across this course at the moment. And I wonder whether the Americans are acclimatized as well. They're not used to playing golf in the cold.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors in top. I think you mentioned it. There's cold. There's a lot of wind. The wind changes from morning to afternoon. And I think there's one thing that the Americans have struggled with is, one, as you say, the wind. And then, of course, adjusting to the changing putting conditions. And I definitely think that has affected the Americans. Because generally, in America, put the ball up high in the sky. You know, it's greens that can kind of penetrate the ball. Where, yeah, it's a very links-like type of course. And, yeah, they have struggled, especially those finishing holes, which are all around that water. I mean, we've seen a good couple of balls go in the water this morning and this afternoon.
The world-class golfers, Russ Crest, and I saw you grimace there when I was talking about it as well. Golfers of this standard can't blame it on the weather conditions.
Certainly not, especially in America where we have cold, Tom. breaking news bulletin. It snows in America, Tom.
Yeah, but you're not playing golf in New York in the middle of winter, though.
That's exactly right. But you got to remember, these guys are multimillionaires, top 20 golfers in the world. They're used to playing in cold. They're used to playing in wind. They're used to playing in desert. They're used to playing in rain. They can play in all types of conditions. Well, apparently, they just can't play in France. That's the only issue right now. However, America is making the most of it this afternoon. They're starting to creep up right now. This could get really interesting here if they get these 3 points coming into this last day here. I think Tiger Woods right now on the tee. Here's something I just saw interesting. History for Sergio Garcia. Sergio Garcia is doing exactly what Thomas Bjorn wants him to do, the exact opposite of what Phil Mickelson should be doing for Jim Furyk. But Sergio Garcia, he's tallied 24 and a half points since his 1999 debut. Only Nick Faldo has more points in the Ryder Cup. Sergio Garcia, certainly Mr. Ryder Cup. We call Mr. Ian Poulter Mr. Ryder Cup. I think Sergio Garcia takes that crown, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he made his debut at 19 years old. And, you know, a lot of people were questioning Sergio coming into the Ryder Cup, thinking that he wasn't on great form. They were saying, was he the right guy to pick? And I think he silenced all his critics. Him and Rory, fantastic combination, as always. And once again, they proved it this morning.
Bryson DeChambeau just teeing it up at the moment. He's going out with Tiger Woods. We've just seen them being presented to the crowd. I did have a little look to see if there was any chat going on, Roscoe, and he kept very quiet during the whole thing. So I think Daddy Woods has told him to shut up.
Yeah, I think he'd say, hey, listen up, kid. Just follow my lead. hold my bag, all right? And follow my lead. But I'm sure Tiger Woods gave him a little bit of a pep talk. Bryson DeChambeau, to his credit, is a golf statistician. He knows everything there is to know about the world of golf. He's an absolute golf nut. He knows everything about the angles of clubs. He can tell you what happened on a golf course back in 1993 on the third day of the Memorial Tournament. He's just an encyclopedia when it comes to golf. So he just absolutely loves what he does, and I guess that's what you want in a professional athlete representing your country.
Francesco Molinari, who's been great thus far, he's teeing it up for the Europeans. The foursomes are out on course at the moment, so we're going to keep an eye on that one for you. But you're right, Roscoe. I mean, we look at it, 8-4, there is European dominance there, but these four balls are crucial because this could make tomorrow's singles very, very close indeed.
Yeah, make it or break it, honestly. I mean, if America gets sweeped right now and they lose all these points coming into the to the singles play, you're basically out of it. I mean, you wouldn't even really have any pressure leading up to it. But if they can make something out of this, get it to 7-8 or something like that, it would be very, very close coming into the singles play. And that's what you want. You want that as a fan as well. The ratings will go up. Everyone will be tuning in. It'll be a Ryder Cup for memories. It'll be a Ryder Cup that you'll remember.
I wonder whether as well it was yesterday afternoon, a lot of people have been talking about that, the foursomes yesterday afternoon, the dominance of the Europeans. But it was the manner in which they did it as well, wasn't it? They were big scores. They were convincing wins. We weren't sort of ones up or twos up or anything like that going into the 17th or getting to the 18th. You know, these were games that were finished early doors on the front, on the back nine.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. It was a complete whitewash, basically. I mean, you saw what happened out there on that course. It just seemed like no one was getting into a groove. We basically have a whole entire team that was in a slump all at once. If they can get out of that slump, who knows? Jim Furyk maybe talked to them last night at the dinner, and hopefully it looks like, I mean, it's very, very early doors, but Johnson Kupta won up through one. Watson and Simpson won up as well. So we'll see where this one goes. Woods and DeChambeau.
Just hold that thought about Watson and Simpson, because they've both just put the ball in the water at the par three. So
they brought their fins, so they'll be playing that next shot out of the water as well. We play in all conditions in
America.
We have
water
in
America as well.
We do. And we have cable television, running water, healthcare. We got it all. Tom, come on over. I'll get you a ticket.
Do you have water hazards on your courses or not? Let's talk Gallagher Premiership if we can. We've got a load of games kicking off for you at 6 o'clock this evening. There was a game last night as well. Wasps winning their fourth time.
Correct, 23-22, Tom, as you said, and very, very close victory. Newcastle looking very, very good. They got this new winger that played for them last night, and I mean, this guy was absolutely sensational. But yeah, fantastic victory. Bristol, the newcomers to the Gallagher Premiership, they take on Saints this afternoon. That game kicks off at 6 o'clock. Exeter Chiefs take on Worcester. Worcester coming off a fantastic victory last weekend. Gloucester, your team, of course, losing to Saracens last weekend. They're taking on struggling Harlequins. And then Saracens take on Bath this afternoon. So action-packed. If we look in the Pro 14, Zebre take on Ospreys. Cognac take on Leinster. Scarlets take on the Southern Kings. Glasgow Warriors take on Newport Dragons, and Munster take on the Ulster Ravens. That game kicks off at 10:30 this evening. And then if we look at France in the top 14, at 10 past 5, we've got Toulouse taking on Castres, Agen taking on Pelouse at 8 o'clock this evening, Bordeaux taking on La Rochelle, Lyon taking on Grenoble, Perpignan taking on Montpellier, and then Clermont taking on Toulon. That is the late kickoff at 10:45.
All sorts going on in the Ryder Cup. Going to keep an eye on that one for you. And we're just seeing Bubba put the ball on to the green after getting relief from the water hazard. I just want to talk rugby, though, from the Gallagher Premiership. I watched this game last night, the Wasps against Newcastle game, 22-23. Another really close game, another high-scoring game as well. I don't know if it's rule changes or whether the referees have been talked to this season, or it's just a better calibre of player coming into the Gallagher Premiership this year. But it's been entertaining since the first weekend.
Absolutely. The winger's name escapes me last night for Newcastle, the number 11. But how sensational was he, Tom? I think there's a couple of factors, Tom. We are seeing more quality players come in. I mean, Lima Somerhaga, the flyer for Wasp last night, brilliant. Of course. He's absolutely fantastic. Willie LaRue, of course, didn't play in that Wasp team last night because he's playing for the Box today. So I think one thing from the Gallagher Premiership, we've seen a lot of international players, better players coming. But to me, the weather's also been a lot better for the start of the season. So it seems like a lot more drying conditions. We're seeing fantastic running rugby. And I think if you look at the Premiership at the moment, Tom, it's in a very, very good state. I mean, even your boys, Gloucester, very, very competitive.
But it's good balance, isn't it? You've got some good names that have come over to play in the Gallagher Premiership, so they're sort of throwing their weight behind it as well. It's almost, whereas before, they would have all gone to France, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
At the moment, I mean, Juan de Jonge last night was good as well. South African, I think.
Centre, yeah.
Yeah, South African centre. He played well, as you mentioned. Lima Sopawaga as well. And it can only be good for rugby in the United Kingdom. But it does cause a bit of a headache for Eddie Jones. Nice headache for him to have, because he's not really sure who his best starting 15 are at the moment. But there's a lot of players in the early part of the new season have put their hand into the hat and said, have a look at me, Eddie.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of wings playing very, very well in England. English wings, should I say. A lot of loose forwards playing very, very well. So, yeah, I think Eddie Jones at the moment, he will have to decide what combinations he's going to go with. I feel that this end of season tour, we spoke a little bit early on, England take on South Africa at Twickenham on the 3rd of November. These autumn internationals are going to be very, very important for Eddie to finalise those combinations, Tom, and once again finalise that England team as they prepare for World Cup 2019. To me, the big thing is I would still like to see Farrell play fly off England. I still believe that's his best position. We see what he does there season after season for Saracens. However, Eddie Jones still prefers to play him at inside centre, so that will be interesting to see what selection he does make at 10 for England come the autumn internationals.
Cardiff Blues scrape past the Cheetahs for a 24-21. Another close game, this one, in the Pro 14 victory after coming from 11 points down in the final quarter of the game. Late tries from Lloyd Williams. Ollie Robinson gave them victory after Ray Lilo's first half score. Gareth Anscombe added 9 points with the boot. The Welsh franchises have been in good form since the beginning of the Pro 14. Same be said for the South African franchises coming. You're not convinced about this, are you?
They've been absolutely terrible. And I think, you know, what's even worse is when these games get played in South Africa, I think the one game they had something like 8,000 people attend at a stadium that seats 45 or 50,000 people. So, I don't know, the South African teams have struggled to adjust to this. And I think the South African public have struggled to really take to this competition. But as you said, the Welsh teams are dominating it. Some very, very good results for them, Tom.
Meanwhile, also last night, Edinburgh were victorious, yeah. But only just 31-30 this one. And afterwards, Richard Cockerill, their head coach, saying they should have lost and their defence was horrible in their 31-30 win over Benetton. Benetton outscored their hosts in tries but missed four conversions at Murrayfield. Simon Hickey more accurate with the boot for Edinburgh. So they won 31 points to 30. Again, high scoring, albeit this was up in the Pro 14 as well. It's one of those ones, isn't it, that just seems that the gap seems to be closing. There have been seasons up until now, whether they've been the haves and the have-nots in terms of money, resources, players as well, but it seems, you know, when you've got Benetton coming over to Murrayfield and making a game of it, they're no longer the whipping boys of the league.
Yeah, I think, Tom, you've touched on a very important point. It seems like teams are a lot more equally balanced, for example, in the Pro 14, but especially in the Gallagher Premiership. But, you know, I think that there's a lot more title contenders. You know, before it was the Saracens or Leicester or Wasps that kind of ran away with it. And now we're seeing a lot more teams. We're seeing Gloucester being very competitive. We're seeing the Sale Sharks being very competitive. And to me, that's a good sign of where the league is. It makes it easier to support. It makes it, you get more fans coming to watch games. So I think all round, rugby is in a very healthy state in England.
You say that, though. Interesting, isn't it? Because you say that, you know, Gloucester made a fist of it this year. They're up there. They're playing some nice rugby. However, you saw last week that they were absolutely schooled by Surreys, and Saracens and Exeter still seem to be the standard bearers of the Gallagher Premiership at the moment.
Yeah, they do. Yes and no. I think, you know, they are kind of, call it, setting the pace. But I think, you know, if you look at teams like Wasps, yeah, they had a narrow victory last night, but when they got all their players back in, they also really, really up there. And to me, I think that from a Gallagher Premiership perspective, there are more teams that can compete with these big teams. I mean, Bristol's opening victory against Bath at the beginning of the season, I mean, what a shock that was. Nobody was expecting that, Tom. So I think, all in all, a much more competitive league than what it has been in previous seasons.
We will take a break. When we come back, we've got second half action for you. West Ham, who lead Manchester United by 2-0. Not sure. Surprising me, even, that I'm saying that at the moment. But into the second half of that game, keep an eye on it for you. And, of course, we've got eyes on the football. We've also got eyes on the golf. And we will have eyes on Russia for you shortly, where we will have qualifying for tomorrow's Grand Prix.
Fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Over in Russia, Grand Prix action underway. Top five out of Q1. Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen, Ricciardo and Raikkonen. Sergei Surovikin is out in Q1 in his home race as well. He spun his car, so he is not in the offing. What is going on? We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Who's left for Q2? All the big guns that I mentioned there. Ocon's also in there, as is Leclerc, Grosjean, Magnussen, Perez, Ericsson, Gasly, Sainz and Hülkenberg. So off we go with Q2. We will keep an eye on that one, find out who's on pole for you in Russia. Quick reflection on yesterday's cricket. Because we had, you were looking for tickets midweek as well. Did you get tickets in the end or
yeah,
not?
I ended up grabbing a ticket to Bangladesh, India on Monday night. But boy, what a hot ticket in town this cricket is, boys. Huh? They're doing a good job up there at the Dubai Cricket Stadium. The whole entire, the Saturday games are completely sold out.
Yeah.
Complete sellout. So there we go.
No, it's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenally attended over the course of the championship, none more so than yesterday. And it's been good cricket as well. We had the final yesterday, came down to the final ball yet again. India winning that thrilling final. A lot of people surprised that Bangladesh made it through to the final. But Pakistan have been woeful in this series.
Yeah, I think woeful's putting it nicely, Tom. They've been very disappointing. And, you know, I think the big thing and the reason why all the tickets were sold out, of course, the big clash is Pakistan against India. Everybody wants to see that clash, including myself. You know, even if you're a non-Pakistani Indian, you want to see that clash. That's what cricket's all about. You know, what makes it so great. But to me, Pakistan just haven't really come to the party. They just kind of haven't been there. To me, of course, the biggest disappointment of the tournament is I wanted to see Virat Kohli. Unfortunately, due to, of course, his schedule, he wasn't able to make it. But I think, all in all, a fantastic tournament. as Ross said, they seem to be doing something magic there. All the games are selling out. But I really was hoping that Pakistan would have been a little bit more competitive in this tournament.
Coincidence that the Pakistani Prime Minister is in the UAE just right at the same exact time that Pakistan India is going off for a couple of meetings, diplomacy meetings. But former cricketer himself, wasn't he, Tom?
Yeah, he was indeed. Yeah, one of the great all-rounders, former captain of Pakistan, in fact led Pakistan to a World Cup victory over in England many years ago against India on that occasion. Interesting though, because he didn't turn up to the game. I'm sure he watched the game. Oh, he did he?
I don't know. He
didn't turn up. However, a former Pakistani Prime Minister did turn up, and that caused a little bit of a stir on social media. Yeah. So who says that politics and sport don't go hand in hand?
Whenever you talk about cricket, you have to talk about the state of the Oval. You've been to the Dubai Cricket Stadium. Yeah. How's it looking out there?
It's a great pitch, actually. I played on the pitch a couple of times. It is a world-class venue, and it's a world-class pitch as well, drop-in wicket. It mimics the conditions that you would find in Pakistan. They're able to do that now because they're home series, and obviously they've got their series against Australia, which starts on Monday. The Australian cricket team here at the moment. In fact, if anyone is out and about at the moment, get yourself down to the ICC Cricket Academy. You get to see the Australian cricket team for free because they're playing on the nursery pitch at the moment down there against Pakistan A in a warm-up game ahead of the series, which starts next week. So Australian cricket go through something of a change.
A new look
at the
team,
moment.
Isn't it?
New look team, some new faces, some young faces in there. And it'd be really interesting to see how they bounce back from the ball tampering scandal last time out when they play against Pakistan at the International Stadium as of Monday. So we're going to keep a close eye on that one. But yeah, back to your question to answer it. Very good wicket. Very similar to playing conditions that you'd find in Pakistan and India as well. And then they've got the ability to sort of to mimic those conditions here, given the know-how of the grounds team that they have down there. So, no, it's been a great series, and it was a suitable finish as well. Kedar Yadav taking India to that final ball victory over Bangladesh in the final of the Asia Cup as India chased 223. Yadav retired hurt with an injury to his right leg, but returned at the fall of the seventh wicket with 9 needed from 11 balls. That became one off the last ball with leg byes off the pads of Jadad, who finished 23 not out, getting India home. Bangladesh were earlier bowled out for 222, Litton Das making a century, but they lost all 10 wickets for just 102 runs. Left arm wrist spinner Kuldeep Yadav claimed 3 for 45, and Yadav took 3 for 41. With his off breaks, the same pair were at the crease when India completed the chase, one that was hampered by the fall of regular wickets. So plenty of cricket to look forward to here in the UAE. As I said, Pakistan are taking on Australia in a series there, and then the England Lions will be here. They are going to set up camp in the UAE whilst England are down in Sri Lanka playing their one day T20 and 3 test match series down there. And then, of course, we go into the T20 craziness over November, December and January as well.
Rumour has it you're taking a whole team down to Sri Lanka for that one, Tom. Is that still happening?
The Urquhart 777.
I could not possibly confirm or deny said rumours at the moment. But what I can tell you is that there is a big contingent going from the UAE. Why wouldn't you? I mean, Sri Lanka is so easy to go. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely miraculous down there. I've been to that cricket stadium. It is phenomenal. Great atmosphere as well. I actually got a tour of it when I was last there. Amazing stuff. I would love to see a game there.
Mate, okay, November the 5th, I think they start. It's a midweek start. November the 5th through to obviously the 10th or whatever is where you can get it. And there's a big contingent going here. Chris Shaw, my brother Hamish is going down. Nick Craig Waller, David Collins, the whole raiding party. There's a team going from Darjeeling Cricket Club as well. So if you want to join on that little junket, then there are plenty of places. Don't you worry about that. I mean, you spend a bit of time over there. It's so easy to get to from here, isn't
When's
it?
This date?
So the first week of November.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can figure this out. We'll figure out a way to get Chris McCarty to comp our flight tickets.
It's straightforward to get to,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right. You just take the highway all the way down from Colombo. It's the one. It's the only highway in the whole entire country.
Because times were that you were used to be able to fly down south.
Yeah,
as well.
Well, Fly Dubai is actually going to reopen that flight to Matala Airport. They were losing a little bit of business on that. Then their CEO came out and said they are going to once again fly to Matala. Fly Dubai does a stopover from, they go from DXB to Colombo. They left people off the plane in Colombo, and then anyone that wants to get on the plane, then they go from Colombo down to Matala, and then they fly back to Dubai. So that was a great route if you want to get to the south of the country, because as you know, the highway systems in Sri Lanka aren't quite as developed as what we have here in the UAE, so it can take you quite a long time to travel that miraculous country.
It's an interesting tour to go on. It's a great place to watch cricket, Sri Lanka. Obviously, they're as passionate about it as anyone. But there is a bit of a battle going on at the moment, because ECB have released their official tickets to the Barmy Army. And you've seen the grounds down there. They're playing a game in Gaul. They're playing a game down in over in Kandy, and they're playing a game in Colombo as well, the test matches, that is. £75 sterling is what the ECB are charging for their tickets into the ground. If you contact the ground directly, they're a pound, yeah, one single pound.
If you show up at the door, you get in with some loose pocket change.
So it's there's a little bit of skimming going on that particular one. But by all accounts, they're guaranteed tickets, so who knows. One man who won't be making his way to the UAE with the Lions, the England Lions, that is. England Lions are basically England A. They're the backup team for England. Whilst they're over in Sri Lanka, England Lions will be here in the UAE. Worcestershire fast bowler Josh Tung will miss the winter's England Lions tour of the UAE after suffering a fresh fracture in his left foot. The 20-year-old had been named in the Lions squad for the four-day fixture against Pakistan A in November. Lancashire's Saqib Mahmood, who was ready in the limited over squad, has replaced Tung in the Red Bull side. As well as the four-day fixtures, the Lions will also play 50 over matches and two 2020 games. We're going to take a short break when we come back. We're going to be around the grounds. In fact, we're not. We're going to go stateside, because let's get your wrap on the world of American sport next.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Carlos van Rosenfeld is watching the football for us this afternoon. Early kickoff in the Premier League. Manchester United against West Ham. It's United versus United. Who's winning?
What I can tell you is, Tom, you'll be very happy to know that West Ham United are 2-0 up against Manchester United. 58 minutes played. And I tell you what, Tom, Manchester United have been looking lackluster. They haven't really made any attempts of goal. West Ham, definitely the stronger team. Jose Mourinho, I foresee, will be making a couple of changes. But as I said, United looking very flat at the moment.
Marcus Rashford is on for United. Let's see what difference he can make at the moment. We will keep an eye on that game for you, as we are keeping an eye on the golf. And it's making a little bit easier watching for Ross Crist at the moment. They've come out good in the foursomes.
Getting a little spicy. That's the word I like to use. Getting a little spicy out there on the court. Johnson and Kopta, one up over Rose and Stenson through three. Watson and Simpson, one up as well over Garcia and Norin. Woods and DeChambeau, they are down to Molinari and Fleetwood. Fleetwood just been playing phenomenal for that European team. They're one up right now. Thomas and Spieth, they're all even between Poulter and McIlroy. As the score stands right now, Europe leads the United States of America 8-4. They need something to happen here this afternoon, so keep your eyes on that television screen if you're a USA fan.
We've also got qualifying ongoing over in Russia ahead of the Russian Grand Prix tomorrow. We are having a look at the drivers who are not going to go into the third qualification. Verstappen, Ricciardo, Gasly, Sainz, Hülkenberg, they've all set times already, so they will stay in at the moment. 1 minute of Q2 left, so we'll keep an eye on the winners and the losers who will go through to the final element of qualifying. Keeping an eye on that one, as we are keeping an eye on all things US sport. Ross Crist.
Yeah, we're going to turn our attention to the NFL, because we had our Thursday night game, and boy, was it a shootout in sunny Southern California. The Los Angeles Rams taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Boy, this game was very, very exciting. And if you're a Rams fan, you got to be happy with where your team's sitting after this big win. 38-31, the Rams moved to 4-0. A big reason they're 4-0 is second-year quarterback Jared Goff, who went 26-33 with 465 yards and 5 touchdowns. I hope you started him in your fantasy football lineups, guys, because that was a lights-out performance from their second-year star.
You know, not at that point. You know, I felt like I got into a pretty good rhythm towards the end of the first half, and felt like we were rolling. You know, it was kind of, we were getting everything we wanted in the run in the pass, and you know, they're such a good defense, and when you are able to get the right look and exactly what you want, it kind of is just going your way sometimes, and you know, that tended to happen tonight. But again, you see how good they are and how good their defense is, how good their offense is, and it was a battle all the way up to the last snap. It feels good. You know, the first quarter of the season is over now, and being undefeated, it feels good. You know, it's where we want to be. It's, you know, and we expect to win every game, but you don't really look this far ahead. But being 4-0 through four games against four quality opponents, and every week is tough. You know, this week is no different. And, you know, we're lucky to be 4-0. And I don't know if lucky is right. We're happy to be 4-0, and we've really worked for it.
38-year-old head coach Sean McVay coaching these Rams to a 4-0 record right out of the gun. They are looking very, very good. If you're a Southern California football team, you got to be happy with both of your teams, the Chargers and the Rams, coming out very good in this NFL season. Elsewhere, Sunday, if you're up at 9 o'clock, you can catch out these games from Week 4. The Bengals take on the Falcons. The 1-2 Falcons host the 2-1 Cincinnati Bengals. Matt Ryan, he's putting himself together a good season. He has over 800 yards passing and 7 TDs through 3 games. The Buccaneers take on the Chicago Bears. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they got themselves in a bit of a good dilemma to have. They got two good quarterbacks on their roster. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been having Ryan Fitzmagic on the football field, leading them to a 2-1 record. But Jameis Winston is coming back from suspension, from his 3-game suspension. Who are they going to start at their quarterback position? Fitzpatrick, we'll leave it with the head coach.
It's just a matter of being professional, you know, and having a mutual respect for each other and open lines of communication, and it doesn't make it difficult. I mean, I love playing the game of football, but I have a lot of pride, but I also I'm a team guy, and so whatever Dirk says and whatever, you know, he decides to do, I respect that because I respect him.
Respect the coach, respect the head coach. You see that there from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's in the 14th year in the league on his 7th team. He's been playing quite well for them down in Tampa. Elsewhere, the Detroit Lions head to Dallas to take on the Dallas Cowboys. Matthew Stafford will take on Ezekiel Elliott and company. The Buffalo Bills head to Green Bay. They're going to head up to Lambeau Field to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That'll be a good game. Peterson, the rookie quarterback, has been playing very, very good for the Bills, winning his first start last week. The defending Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, will head to Tennessee in Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Nick Foles and company, he will be coming in for the Eagles. For those defending champion Eagles going against the Titans, Zach Ertz has 21 receptions, 215 yards for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Texans take on the 1-2 Colts. The Dolphins take on the Patriots. The Patriots, guys, sitting at 1-2. Tom Brady, he might be sweating it a little bit, Carl, huh?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the Dolphins, what a start to the season. They've had 3-0, but I think going to Boston, taking on the Patriots is going to be very, very tough. But as you said, Ross, the Patriots haven't really been showing the form that we used to, but they do have the one and only quarterback that can change a game within a couple of seconds.
That's right, and he's going to be getting his favorite weapon back here pretty soon because Julian Edelman's going to be returning from his PED suspension, so we'll see if he can light it up. Miami Dolphins, they are an early success story. We'll see if Ryan Tannehill can get it done in Foxborough at Gillette. This will be the biggest game of the season for him. The Jets take on the Jaguars. This is at TIA Bank Field in Jacksonville. Jaguars sitting at 2-1. The Browns picked up their first win. And their lockers were open in Cleveland, and people have rejoiced by the mistake by the lake. Cleveland finally has a win, thanks to first-round number one overall draft pick Baker Mayfield coming in for an injured Tyrod Taylor who left the game with a concussion. He comes in, and he rallies the troops, and he gets Cleveland their first win. Unbelievable, huh?
Baker Mayfield, what a story he's been. Of course, as you say, number one draft pick. But, Ross, Chris, just keep us updated. How long did it take to open the fridges? Was it about 2 years?
It took about 2 years. Great, great promotion there by the beverage company. Very, very, very smart. Seattle Seahawks take on the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona still looking for their first win in the season, sitting at 0-3. Drew Brees, he now has the completion record for the NFL. He's for the New Orleans Saints. He's 2-1. They go to New York to take on the Giants, who are sitting at 1-2. The San Francisco 49ers take on the Los Angeles Chargers in Los Angeles. The late game on Sunday, rivalry game, AFC North. What more do you want? Heinz Field, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 75 degrees. It's going to be windy. Baltimore Ravens take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown going against T-Sizzle and the Ravens. This will be a big, big game. And then elsewhere, the Chiefs take on the Broncos. That will be the Monday night game. So if you get up Tuesday morning at 4:15 a.m., you can catch that one. This will be a good game. The Chiefs sitting at 3-0. Patrick Mahomes has 13 touchdowns, the rookie does, through 3 games. He's been playing quite well. NBA training camp, it just seemed like yesterday we were crowning the Warriors the champions. Today, we're in training camp, and guess what? LeBron is no longer in Cleveland. He has moved teams. He has moved conferences. He's now on the West Coast. He's playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I want you guys to listen to this one. A reporter asked him, what are you going to do to win over the Lakers fan base loyalty? Listen to LeBron's response.
LeBron, the LA fan base, how do you expect to earn their respect and earn their loyalty?
Who, me?
The fan base, yes.
Me?
Yes, you.
Huh?
Just what do you say to the fans that say they want to see you and earn their respect?
I'll sign a 4-year deal. How much more? I mean, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, we talked to them outside of here yesterday.
Listen, I'll sign a 4-year deal. I'm here, so. Me, I know what I bring to the table on the floor.
Quite confident in his answer, isn't he, Mr. James? Isn't he?
Who, me? You asking LeBron that?
LeBron James.
Nice to meet you, LeBron. Yeah? You came here to ask me questions. Yeah.
Boy, that's Lakers team though. I don't know if they're going to be even making a playoff push. But LeBron, he's still in his prime. He's still pushing it. But even he thinks they have a long way to go.
You think that this Los Angeles Lakers can beat Golden State in the Western Conference?
We got a long way to go to get to Golden State. They could pick up right where they left off, starting with training camp. If they start today or whenever they start, we're picking up from scratch. So we have a long way to go. You know, we can't worry about what Golden State is doing. Golden State is Golden State, and they're the champions, and they've been together for a few years now, so... you know, we put that to the side. We can only focus on what we can do to get better every day as a Lakers franchise. And, you know, and hopefully someday we can put ourselves in a position where we can compete for a championship as Golden State has done for the last few years.
Elsewhere across the league on the eastern side of the things, his old team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, well, they're LeBron James-less. They're entering their second time as a team going without LeBron James when they lost him to free agency the first time heading to Miami. Do they still have the pieces to get back to the playoffs? There's still a lot of good players on this team. Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love. I still think they have the pieces to maybe sneak in as the 8 or 7 seed. Thompson thinks that they are one of the teams to beat in the East.
We're still 4-time Eastern Conference champions. So until you take us down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7, lost. Philly... you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we already know that story. So until someone takes us down, not much they can really say.
Well, sorry about the basketballs there in the background. I guess they caught him dribbling in practice when they caught up with him for that interview. But what he was saying is they still are the 4-time Eastern Conference champions. And he is right. The 4-time Eastern Conference champions, the Cleveland Cavaliers, are. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust, though, without LeBron James. I imagine they'll be playing a lot more of the ball through their power forward, Kevin Love, who is committed to the city of Cleveland. And he is an all-star caliber player in himself. So it'll be nice to see what they can do without them on the line. Up. Let's head over to baseball real quick, guys, because we're getting closer to October, which means we're getting closer to that World Series. And there's been a couple teams that have already clinched playoff spots. One of these teams is the Boston Red Sox. The other team is the New York Yankees coming out of the American League East. The Boston Red Sox going to a 107-53 record. That is amazing. They've won almost 70% of their games this season. It's a 162-game season you play in the regular season for baseball. Imagine that. The New York Yankees have a record of 99-61. There were 8 games back behind the Red Sox. There's a couple more games this week. Then we get to playoff baseball, so I can't wait for that. That'll be really, really exciting. That's when it really heats up and we start to see a lot more fastballs, a lot more home runs, and a lot more of the rotation. Some sad news to report back home in NCAA. Oh, we have a goal.
We do indeed. There's been another goal at the London Stadium. Where's it gone, CBR?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, you spoke about Rashford coming onto the field as a replacement. It was a fantastic corner in. They played it short. Rashford, a fantastic kick in, and as I say, Manchester United have clawed back 1 goal. West Ham 2, Manchester United 1, 70 minutes on the clock.
20 minutes left in that one. Sad news over in the States.
Yes, LSU's Wade Sims killed in a shooting. Young 20-year-old junior for the LSU Tigers. He was a promising player. He had aspirations to make it to the NBA. Very, very sad day on LSU's campus.
It's one of those days where we want to remember Wade and what a great person he was. Besides the fact he had a the best impression of me on the team. You know, it was just an unbelievable person.
It is an absolute tragedy when a young life gets cut off so senselessly. I've been doing this for over 40 years, and this may be the saddest day that I've ever experienced in my career.
Everybody liked him. You know, anybody he came in contact with, he automatically just loved him and loved his personality. He was just a blast to be around.
You're hearing the voice of Will Wade there, LSU men's basketball head coach, LSU basketball player Wade Sims, killed in a shooting near Southern University campus early Friday morning. That's according to the Baton Rouge police. So thoughts and prayers from us in Dubai going out to Wade Sims and all of his fans and the whole entire Tiger fan club out there in LSU.
Russ Chris, thanks so much indeed to you. Right, we will take a short break when we come back. Talking to Dan Wheeler, he's got Arsenal against Watford for you a little later on this afternoon. It's live here on Dubai I-103.8. We'll try and get some team news from Dan next.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiI1038.com.